Welcome back. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 the game. Moving along. Guys, so much to get to. I'm very excited about our next guest as we go out to the TikTok Jewelers Hotline. 9-year NFL vet. Played with the Redskins, the Raiders, the Browns, the Bears, the Bengals. Also, host of the Auburn Football Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. It's Jason Campbell. How you doing, Jason?
Hey, guys. I'm doing pretty good. Just pretty much staying in the house like everybody else right now.
Yeah. I know. It's a tough time. We'll get through it. By the way, my partner on Sundays is a big Raider fan. He wanted me to say to you, why didn't you slide? You were 4-2 and 20-11, and you were going to go to great places, but I'm sure we'll get into that later on. Let's talk a little bit about Tom Brady leaving the Patriots. First of all, was it a shock to you? Did you think he was going to come back, or did you think he was definitely going to be gone?
Well, if you watched last season and you watched, like, the frustration that he had during the season, you know, when he comes to the sideline, you know, sometimes he usually get into guys, but at that point you didn't see him getting into guys as much as he has in the past. And I think he was kind of tired as far as his per se is, you know, he didn't feel like they surrounded him with the talent that he needed to have in order to win a Super Bowl. So he probably feel like in a way that they wasn't caring as much about, you know, what they was giving him more so than just what they was doing for the defense. On defense, they was loading up guys with talent. And on offense, they really wasn't trying to give him like a speedy receiver or someone that can break the back of the defense and put the defense in a position where they have to be in a backpedal. So, you know, I think he just got kind of frustrated. And at the same time, 20 years in one place is a long, long time. And I think, you know, Tom per se, he's probably like, hey, you know, I want to get another shot at this, but I also want to do it somewhere else just to see what it feels like, you know, to be away from unfamiliar territory. You know, Tom likes challenges, and I think this presented a challenge for him, and I think this gets his motor going again, and I think he finds another reason why he wants to continue to play this game and try to get another Super Bowl.
Jason, we mentioned the teams you played for. That's quite a resume, and as someone who played for all those teams, you get to be obviously in a lot of locker rooms. I mean, what did people in the other locker rooms that you were in say about Tom Brady?
Oh, man, you know, everybody looked up to him, you know, like he was like the statue, you know, in our league. You know, every time I got a chance to play against him, you know, he always shook our hand and, you know, gave words of encouragement and would run across the field to do it. And, you know, I always thought highly of him because of his sportsmanship and everything for the younger quarterbacks. And it was always just tough to beat him. You know, even times I had an opportunity to play against losing. I was in Cleveland. We played against him up in New England. I threw for almost 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. We were about 12 points to win the game with 2 minutes to go in the game. You think we don't want it, Foxborough? We're walking away with a victory. And all of a sudden, we end up losing the game. And, and you're just like, how did this happen? You know, like it's just – and everything. But at the same time, you know, everybody has a lot of respect for him. He's a true ultimate professional. Anybody that's always played with him, always. He doesn't come off as that arrogant type of guy that no one wants to be around. You know, all his teammates always want to kind of be around him. They say, you know, he's always constantly communicating with them. So, you know, that's the ultimate team leader.
Jason, what do people around the league say about Belichick? I mean, are there horror stories of people talking about what it's like to play for this guy or guys that don't want to go play in New England?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've had some friends that, you know, went to go play for him, and they say, man, it's just a different atmosphere. They was just like, you know, it's almost like that drill sergeant type atmosphere. You know, you know you're going to be a good football team because everything is so disciplined. But it's like no leeway, per se, for like fun atmosphere. And, you know, some guys, yes, you can go there and win a Super Bowl, but some guys say it's just so tough because the atmosphere is not so fun because it's so drill sergeant-like and just so business-like. But, you know, it's gotten them a lot of Super Bowls. Hey, you can't knock it. At the same time, you know, you want to experience fun in that league as well. And I think you know, the prime example is Ocho Cinco. You know, once he left Cincinnati, he still was a really good receiver. And then once he got to New England, you know, he couldn't be himself. And ultimately, some guys can't adapt to that. When you can't be yourself, you end up losing yourself. And next thing you know, you have to leave. You know, some guys go there and they can, you know, just tune it into a business-like mindset. But at the end of the day, you got to be who you are.
Jason Campbell, 9-year NFL veteran, played with multiple teams, also the host currently of an Auburn football podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, here with us now in the huddle, 101.3 The Game. Which head coach did you most like playing for in your career, Jason?
Oh, 10 years I played, I'll probably say, man, that's tough, because Joe Gibbs, I really liked Joe Gibbs when I first got to Washington. I thought he was on to something. Like, he really got all the guys' attention. And he always used to tell us, hey, man, the game is bigger than just, you know, what you think it is. He was just like, you could be out doing a hard job, you know, working on the railroad track or doing something. He was like, you got to do it because it's what you have to do for your family, for work. He said, you guys get a chance to play a game. You get a chance to make a living doing something you love and you enjoy. He's like, not many people get to do that. So he said, cherish the moment. And so I thought he was a really good coach, embracing the culture, but helping guys stick together and see life as well as football. And you know, fortunately, he had to retire. You know, after we lost Sean Taylor, I think he just took a big toll on him, took a big toll on the whole team. Mm-hmm. And I think, after that, he just decided to move on to NASCAR.
Wow. Jason, let's get into a little bit of the quarterback carousel going on out there. Cam Newton, no job yet. Jameis Winston, I don't know if you know this, Cam Newton's a former Auburn guy. I don't know if you knew that. these guys still got Gabe? What's going on? They still have Gabe, these guys, or what?
Yeah, you know, let's start with Jameis first. You know, you look at Jameis, he's a 24-year-old kid. Last year he had 33 touchdowns, 30 picks, and everything. It's just like another year of Bruce Arians, I think, would have helped him cut down some of those interceptions. But at the same time, you know, this is something Jameis has been doing since college, too, though. You know, he plays the game that way. He's going to go for the long ball. He's going to try to fit it in there. If he does, he does. If he doesn't and gets intercepted, he's still going to come right back out and keep firing. So you have to like that type of mindset. But at the same time, you have to understand that, man, that ball's in your hand. You got to protect the team. And I think he still has a lot of room to grow from a standpoint because he is so young. It's just finding the right team and the right fit now, which is tough because there's only really two other teams that need guys. And there's not many opening jobs, especially when you got Tua and the kid from LSU and Burrow. Utah and those yeah. kid from Oregon coming in as well, competing for jobs. So there's not a lot of room right now. You look at Cam. Cam is a proven that, you know, a guy who's done it at a high level, made it to the Super Bowl, been an MVP before. His thing is just he's been injury prone the last couple of years because of all the running and the hits he had to take early on in his career. But I think more so than now, he only played, maybe two games last year. So he's had time to recover, time to heal up, and I think he's probably hungry now because of the simple fact that he feels like he has something to prove. And so I think for him, it's just be getting to the right situation because he's still a young guy. He's still 30 years old. So he still got some years left in him. You know, even though he was running the ball a lot in Carolina, I think he still has at least four more years of starting in him. Mm-hmm.
Now, you talk about a good situation, Jason, for those two guys. I mean, would you rather go to a place that's not as good and start, or would you rather be a backup for a year, rebuild yourself? What would you rather do?
It's tough. As a competitor, you want to go somewhere and start. You know, I remember when I got traded to Oakland, I was like, oh, man. you know, because at the time they hadn't been winning. It's just like, and then when you play against them, it seemed like some guys cared, some guys didn't. I was just like, But then I took the approach like, hey, Jay, you know, this is why you're going there. You know, you can change the approach and change some of the mindset of some of the young guys and be a role model for them and show them the work ethic. And that's how Richard Seymour went there the year before me. So I said, okay, you know, so when I got out there, I ended up becoming friends with Richard Seymour, friends with a lot of guys on the team. And the first thing we talked about was, guys, we ain't going to invent the wheel overnight, but we're going to make improvements the first year. And the second year, we're really going to try to shoot for this thing and get to the playoffs. And that's pretty much the way we was going. The first year, we went 7-0 in the division. We beat San Diego twice, which they hadn't beat them like one time in a few years. And then, you know, we was rolling. We lost a few games that we could have won right there at the end. So we finished 8-8 my first year out there. The second year, we started off and we were pretty hot. You know, we were rolling. And we were hitting on all cylinders. And it was just the beginning of the season. And we still hadn't come into our true form yet. And we was a young team. We looked around the offense. Everybody was like 27 and under, you know, and I was probably the oldest at 27, 28 at that time. And so you're looking at it, it's like, man, for 5 years, we can make a 3-4 year run and put ourselves in position and get into the playoffs and see what happens. And unfortunately I get hurt and then Fadden gets hurt and then they make the trade and everything. Carson, and it kind of just, you know, spiral downhill then because he lost that continuity and you took away the guys that came there that was hungry. When I got to Oakland, I was hungry. And the other guys who were there with me was hungry. And that's the thing that I don't understand, you know, what Hugh was thinking, you know, when they did the trade and everything, because you got to look for hungry guys. and guys that fit together. That's hard to find in the National Football League. But at the same time, you understand the business and you move on. And I had to accept a backup job after being a starter and was doing well as a starter. All my numbers was in the top 10 of any starters in the league at that time that got hurt. And I never got a chance to regain a starting job because there wasn't jobs open. But because they gave my job away, and I feel like I've earned the right to be there for the next couple of years of my contract year.
Jason, we want to talk to you about another Auburn guy that we're now really concerned about, Jarrett Stidham, who's going to be the guy who's probably the starting quarterback for the Patriots next year. What do you know about Stidham? What have you seen? Have you met him personally?
Well, yeah, I've had a chance to cover Stidham a little bit in Auburn. I did some of the radio stuff for them during the football season on home games. From a character standpoint, stand-up kid, stand-up guy. From an athletic standpoint, everyone knows he's not a real runner. He gives you a little bit more athleticism than Brady, though. He can run and pick up first downs and get outside the pocket. He does have a strong arm. He can throw. He can thread the needle. He can throw the ball. He throws the ball very accurately on deep corner routes and go balls and everything. So, for him, it was hard to judge him in the Auburn offense because that offense is all about fitting a guy that is a dual threat quarterback. And more his junior year, more his sophomore year, he was more of a pocket guy within that system because we had the running back and everything that is at Detroit now. So, he took a lot of load off of Stidham, and it was more of a he can control the game, he can make the throws and do all the things he needed to do. Now his junior year, everything changed. And it became a little difficult for him because the running game wasn't there as much as it was his sophomore year. So it entailed for you in that system, you have to have a strong run game in order for things to work. And his junior year, it wasn't a strong run game. So what makes the run game go in that system is you have to have a dual threat quarterback, and Stidham is more of a pocket guy. So it was kind of hard to judge him off of that. So, who knows what's going to happen. I know he's a student of the game. He's going to adapt. He'll get in there, he'll bust his tail in the playbook, and, see where it goes. I'm pretty sure he knows there's probably going to be some competition for the position, and everything is always is at that level. So, he just got to continue to control the things that he can, and I guess not worry about what he can't.
Jason, we'll get you out of here on this one. What advice would you give him about trying to replace Tom Brady? I mean, how do you even go about trying to replace a legend like that?
That's the hardest job in America for anybody coming into that situation. That's just like, you can't replace a Jordan. You just can't replace, guys like that and his magnitude. He can't go in there. My advice to him is be there, be Jarrett Stidham. Don't worry about trying to live up to what Tom Brady did or trying to be Tom Brady because, that's something that's hard for any person to even try to go and implement. And so he just got to go out there and understand, like, hey, this is a new era. This is my opportunity to go out here and do what I can do. Don't put no pressure on yourself. Just work hard, put your head down, drive as fast as you can go, and just be yourself, be your leader. Now, you can take some of the leadership tools that you learn from Tom Brady by sitting in there and watching him for a year and watching how he film study and how he do things like that. Take all of that knowledge. But then once you get on the field, don't try to play like him or say like I got to try to throw like him, but just understand, just be yourself and not try to be someone else.
I'd walk in all cocky. I'd ask for number 12. I go, give me number 12. Could you imagine that? He's Jason Campbell, 9-year NFL vet, played with the Redskins, the Raiders, the Browns, the Bears, the Bengals, host of the Auburn Football Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Jason, thank you so much for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. Y'all take care.